and Samarin. Maybe. Yep. He's trying. Well, I tried to add Samarin.
So he's not answering.
Yep.
Jason.
Hello.
How you doing, buddy?
Doing well. How are you?
Not bad.
I was thinking about you today.
Oh yeah.
Are you feeling better?
I am actually. I think like a couple days ago, I think my cough finally left. So.
That's good.
Yeah, you sound better.
Yeah.
And that's half the battle, isn't it?
Yep. It's all about appearances.
I'm reading this game or rules summary, and I fucking can't remember any of it.
I was having trouble too. Like, I was trying to figure out which one of the advancements I'd want to pick, and I'd be like, "What's effort again?"
Yeah.
Well, then the good news is when I screw this up, you guys aren't going to particularly. Yeah.
Rex, if you haven't figured that out by now, man, you're.
Rex knows the rules so well. He has an answer for everything.
And I honestly don't care if you're screwing it up. Just keep it going, baby.
Nice.
Keep it going. Good spin the ninth world for me.
That's right.
That's right. Although I have been reading them, I'm about 60 pages from the end. And the. I'm enjoying our campaign, and I want to keep playing it. I'm not in love with the world, but I really like the system. Like
you've been reading the rule book?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the 450 page one.
Yeah.
And so I'm in the GMing section now, and his philosophy is well in line with mine. So I'm like, hey, this is great. This is definitely confirmation bias, but that's fine with me. Just kind of just roll with it. Just kind of do whatever.
Well, there's other, there's the cipher, right? If you like the system, there's the general cipher system, and then there's the strange, right? Which uses the same.
Yeah.
Yep.
And there's a cyberpunk one that just came out. Oh. That's not Monte Cook Games. It's a third party, based on a set of British novels from the 90s.
It's not the Laundry Files, is it?
No, it's called Vert. V-U-R-T.
Oh, is that the one somebody kickstarted that? Is that? No, yes. I'm thinking Cult.
Yeah, that was also...
Also kickstarted.
Also kickstarted. I guess that's not a very small, uniquely identifying thing.
Yeah, RPGs on Kickstarter.
Yep. RPGs on Kickstarter based on Stranger Things. Nope, still not unique.
All right, trying to add Samer again. Well, and there's another also cipher system game called either Godfall or Follow the God, that.
It was in. I did that bundle.
And
I think Godfall was in there.
What's up, Samer?
Hello.
Samer.
Or should I say Lev? Lev.
Leave.
Leve.
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 Lev. Lev from the Levant.
We should all speak in French accents for the remainder of the session.
Go ahead.
It is one time use.
Actually, that reminds me, I need some notepaper. That is good. No reason I need notepaper. Don't worry about it. So
that's not really that threatening, Rex, I hate to tell you.
Okay. All right.
Oh, he's going to write stuff down.
Absolutely.
Just don't blow us all up on a spaceship.
Just letting you know ahead of time, I am dog tired tonight. I did not sleep last night. Yes.
Well, all right. At least you're not double dog tired. That's all I got to say.
No, I'm not double dog tired.
Okay.
Jason, you want to run the advantage rules by me again now?
We'll get into that later. We'll explain it when we come to it.
All right.
Nice. All right, boys. Are you guys ready to dive back into the ninth world?
Yes.
Delicious.
Although I didn't do my homework.
That's okay. I didn't really either. So this is going to be an interesting session. Nice. So I did some.
The best.
Yes.
So I did read a little bit.
Yeah. So I think as far as housekeeping, we're going to start embracing more of the system at this point in time. So we're going to start dealing with XP mm-hmm. at this point. And as I told you guys before, I kind of back of the enveloped it and gave y'all 5 XP. Part of that was based on the rules recommendations about how much XP to dole out during the session, and a suggestion that over the course of a session or a series of sessions, the players are probably going to spend half their XP on immediate and short-term
benefits. So you
benefits.
Assumed that we did, and but we didn't get a little to bit, use yeah. the benefit of it. I like it. The yeah, retroactive yeah. screwage is classic.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, like I said, I picked a point between uh-huh. the bare minimum that you would have gotten and the maximum you've gotten and, mm-hmm. and drew the line there. And if you want to have a long argument about it, then we can go start a forum post.
I think we definitely should.
But we're not going to do it
I
on
feel strongly.
Time.
On page 86, it clearly says...
I'm exactly. opening a subreddit right now.
Yep. Case Samara pulls a Carl on us and just dozes right off.
Are we gonna utilize the optional rules?
Samara, that's a little too realistic.
The optional rules, Samara. I finally realized that when I was trying to figure out this whole. He wants to add this damage and it's an optional rule. That's why it was not readily apparent to me. So. A little bit later in the session, I'm actually going to give y'all an opportunity to role play a little bit how you spend that for advancements. But in the little new player notes Google Doc I shared with you guys, I put a table on there where y'all could record that. I didn't realize until I jumped in Roll 20 that the character sheet also has a place for you to record your advancements. You don't have to decide this second what it's going to be.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
No pressure.
If you don't have to tell me at this second. Jason's right. You have to decide right now, but you can save it and deliver what it is at a more appropriate moment. The only other things that we didn't really do when we started playing, we just started with that one shot, and the one shot didn't really track to a particular place on the map of the Ninth World. So we never really talked about where y'all are from. Again, that's not critical to me at this moment for you to make that decision. But the only thing that potentially you want to be thinking about, and I can spoil for you, is you're going to end up in a province called Navarine, which is in the area of the Ninth World called the Steadfast. And the Steadfast is the area that's generally more organized. There are 9 kingdoms or provinces, depending on how you want to assess their method of government. Located in the Steadfast, it's a very medieval type setting. But it is structured, and there's trade and organized governments in some form or fashion within the Steadfast. Then there's basically everything else, which is called the Beyond. And there's also human existence in the Beyond, and there's settlement, but it's much more rugged, survivalist. Survivalist might be too strong a term. Much less organized. There aren't any governments out in the Beyond.
Prepper?
maybe. So
a little late.
My operative assumption was that the that y'all were from the Beyond, but that's not critical to me. And if at some point during the process, at whatever point in the process you think it would be appropriate to set down some roots and give us some backstory about where you're from, that's fine with me. The only question tonight will be, is there anyone who's going to want to have originally been from Navarine? So we will address that at the appropriate time. But the first thing we have to do is deal with the fact that the last time we were together, Everyone managed to fail their speed rolls to get off or get out of the destructing citadel of radiance as it was falling apart. And where we left it was everyone had failed those speed rolls. And if you remember in the citadel, you were racing back and you'd just about gotten to the space or the area where there was a podium control panel with a crystal on it. And that general area is where you were when we kind of faded to black. So I was going to walk you through how that situation resolved and get you back in a situation where you can start doing some role playing again. So I was just going to narrate it because I don't have any confidence in y'all's ability to roll your way out of this situation based on what you did last time. So although you could spend your one XPs on rerolls to see if you could fail twice. But here's the setting. So as you were fleeing through the structure trying to make your way back to the vortex to get back to the temple, you come running into this room. There's a massive shutter. The whole structure kind of lurches. The gravity appears to shift or phase. And you were all four of you hurled off your feet and thrown to the ground, thrown against the walls, and are stunned, dazed, briefly knocked unconscious. Basically, you're out of it. Remnil comes to first and gets just a final message from Eridomos, the entity that had asked them to come to the Citadel. And the final message was, I've done the best I can for you, and that's really it. And as Riminal begins to gather her bearings, she can see the other three members of her party are down, and she notices that the control panel with the crystal on it looks a little bit different than it did previously. She goes to the control panel. She notices now there's a projection above the control panel. A bright, large yellow orb, a very small green dot floating within that bright yellow orb, and then off in the distance, a small to medium size blue sphere. And she notices that the crystal that was there before is now floating slightly above the surface of the station. And after spending a few moments with the mechanism and with a little trial and error, she realizes that by moving this crystal, that small green dot begins to move as well. And she manages to maneuver the green dot and move it away out of the bright yellow orb and move it to the blue. As she does that, the panel deactivates, the crystal drops back down. And if you remember, there was a room that the group had never explored off of that main room. The door to that room opens, and the rest of the party is now up. There's a light flashing in the room. The four of you make your way into the room, and you'll notice a series of pedestals, maybe 6 inches off the rest of the floor, circular in shape, of varying sizes. Four of the pedestals are lit, and you deduce that these are in some way for the four of you. Each of you goes stands on one of the pedestals. Once all four of you are on the pedestal, the door to the room closes, and a barrier rises around from the pedestal going up to the ceiling, basically encircling each of you in a field. You try to push, if any of you tried to push your hands through it, the field had a resistance to it that would not let you push your hand through. Just as you were getting ready to do that, you did notice that you just got a sense that the station, the citadel had moved. And then the Once the field is all the way up, each of you go unconscious. Cut to some indeterminate...
That's badass.
Nice. But incorrect. It's an excellent guess, but it was incorrect. So the next thing you are aware of is awaking, and each of you is in a room. You're in a separate room. You are on a bed. As you awake, each of you in the room, there's a window on your room. Each of you can look out of the window, and you see water. And you see a short distance away from you partial structure, obviously damaged and broken, a green structure partially arising out of this water. And shortly thereafter, you determine, hold on, you are on some type of vessel that is traveling on the water. Mm. So,
party going on.
Yes, yes. Ignore all the happy people. No, they don't
really, very thin.
Yes, yes. This is not. Never mind. I was going to say who it might be on that boat in that picture, but let's not worry about that at this point in time.
Lev is on a boat.
I'm on a boat.
So each of you is in your room. Each of you during the attempt to leave the room, the door to your room is secured. You also notice that all of your ciphers and weapons are not with you. Each of you are at different points in the process. Eventually you'll figure this out. Or paid a visit in the room by someone who's garbed in a manner that each of you know from your experience indicates that they are an Ion or Aeon priest, a member of the Order of Truth, which we may or may not have spoken about in the past.
I think you did. You've mentioned it before.
Would anyone like a refresher on the Order of Truth?
I would.
Sure. All right. So again, there are organization or almost a profession, really might be a better way to describe it, called the Ion or Aeon, however you pronounce it, priest. And these are persons who are devoted to studying the past and studying Numenera and trying to gain an understanding of the past and the Numenera, potentially to see if it could provide some benefit to current life. Probably the most and eventually they became organized through the intervention of one man, Caraval, who is generally referred to as the Amber Pope.
Yes.
And he is famous for discovering and supposedly, according to tradition, actually entering a structure called the Amber Monolith and receiving great visions and understanding of the world and Numenera. And he founded the Order of Truth. One of probably the most important thing that the Order of Truth has accomplished in the 400 or so years that it's been in existence is they have come up with a common language called the truth. It's the language that you use and that most people use to ensure that they can communicate as they move about the world. Not all Ion priests are members of the Order of Truth. The Order of Truth is most prevalent in the Steadfast, the Nine Kingdoms, or provinces, depending on how you want to describe them, where they Again, their detractors refer to them as the Amber Papacy, but they prefer to be called the Order of Truth. And again, I want to caution metagame for a second, the players, about reading too much into these descriptors or making too many assumptions about Judeo-Christian religious principles being the principles governing the Order of Truth. They are an entity that has a religious-like reverence for the past and past technology, but they would if they have any religion, it's a religion of scientism, for lack of a better term, worshiping rationality and study. So that's the Order of Truth. And each of you is approached by Ion Priests. And we'll start with Lev. Lev, you're approached by the Ion Priest, and he enters, and he asks how you're doing.
I feel a little woozy, but I think I'm doing okay.
It appears that you have had quite an adventure. What can you tell me about the structure where you were found, how it came to be here, how you came to be in that structure? What do you want to tell him, Lev?
Well, I don't remember much. I'm feeling a little... I don't know why I'm having a hard time recalling it, but I remember me and my team, you know, me and the party, you know, we had one of the members of our team was receiving some kind of communique telepathically from this entity within this. I think he called, I couldn't remember if he named it, but for some reason the name Citadel keeps coming to mind. So anyway, we went and followed, his this entity's directions, and eventually it led us to this place where we encountered what looked to be almost like a prison of some sort. And then we fought this being, and we eventually overcome him. But then the structure that we were in when we fought this being was deteriorating and breaking up around us, and there were these windows, but we couldn't see out them, but there was a bright light emanating from them, but you could sense that the structure it was beginning to break up and possibly explode. And next thing I know, I blacked out as we were trying to escape out of there, and then we wake up here, and that's where we are right now.
Well, that is truly an amazing adventure that you have. I'm sure we'll have more questions when we arrive at our destination, and I'll make sure that food and drink are brought to you. Do you need any other type of attention, healing, or anything of that nature?
I think I'm okay right now. I think I just need to rest a little bit more. I think I'll be okay.
Rest would be a wise idea. We should be at our destination soon, so. Ion Priest leaves. The door is nicely locked as he leaves. And he pays a visit to Daylan.
Ah, did I hear something about drink, my friend? drink and a nice book, please. It would be helpful. Thank you.
Is there a particular book that you're interested in? A subject?
Perhaps something about this strange vessel.
I shall ask the captain if he has any such book, and I will ensure that drink is brought.
Ah, fantastic. Where are we, by the way?
We are on the river. I can't remember. That's where we are.
Strange name. I wouldn't expect the name of the river. But.
It is not the Tithe River, I can tell you that. Because that's the other river, and now my map froze. Really? All right, let's do this. We'll go over here. There we go. Nice. Now we're back. Oop. We are on the Jerobost River. soon we'll be on Charmond. Does Dalen have any recognition of either that river or that city?
What was the city name again? To.
Charmond.
Charmond. No, I'm from Navarine myself. Feels like it's quite far away.
Well,
we sold well over 400.
The Iron Priest looks puzzled. How can you be from Navarine and not recognize the name of your capital city?
I was just having you on there, my friend.
You must be from a different part of Navarine. Have you never been to the glorious capital?
Well, I am from Shalimos, City of Echoes.
Nice. Well done, Dalen. Dalen gets an XP for that.
Good backpedaling.
We keep to ourselves there in Shalimos, so we do not concern ourselves with the capital city unless necessary.
Ah, are you involved in trade then?
You might say that. I find myself helping the tradesmen from time to time, sometimes the government, whoever can benefit from my services.
Well, you must understand then the important relationship between the Order of Truth and the Queen of Navarine and how closely we work together. So I'm sure you would be willing to help me explain your recent whereabouts and the circumstances that led you to end up crashed in a lake in a very alien structure.
Well, I was just pursuing some of my own business interests and found myself allied with some of the other men that you see here. And we were employed by some of the tradesmen who were from the area to investigate some of the strange going-ons in that area. And soon I found myself in the most unusual predicament and a strange environment. I couldn't really explain it.
Interesting. And how exactly did you end up in this crashed structure in a lake abutting the river Jirabost?
We only made it by the skin of our teeth, I can tell you that much. The place started to disintegrate around us, and we barely made it away.
Begins to peer closely at your teeth to try to see how much skin there might actually be.
Figure of speech, my friend.
A smile, a jokester, I see. Anything else that you think would be of value to the Order of Truth as we seek a better understanding of this world and the oddities that exist within it and apparently without it?
I can only hope that your knowledge and reach and insight into this world is far beyond ours, because there are things that we don't understand and they may not be may not have our best interests at heart.
Excellent. Well, please, your drink has arrived, and I shall check shortly with the captain to see if the book you've asked for might exist.
Yeah. Thank you. If not, I'll take another one of these drinks. Thank you.
He then makes his way to Hommet.
Hommet's going to glare at him.
Robert arrives.
I guess I got one style, huh? I don't know. You put this shit on my character, man.
Starting to size him up.
Monty Cook put this on your character. Whoever writes adventures for him.
I
did not create this character. And you picked him. There were two other options that you could have gone with.
Well, I had to pick a glaive, motherfuckers. But anyway. We're all wizards. What could go wrong?
So the priest comes in and peers at you. You look unhappy.
Why am I locked up?
Something. You're our guest, given the extraordinary circumstances.
Guests, will you lock your guests in their room?
Now, we keep our guests safe.
Listen, I appreciate you. I didn't think I was coming out of this alive. And I appreciate that I am now alive, and if you've done something for me, that's great. I don't like being locked up.
Well, soon we will arrive at Charmond, and you will be off this vessel, and you will have an opportunity to plead your case before the Queen's Chancellor.
Plead my case for what?
Well, if it's not been clear to you, the appearance of this structure actually caused a great deal of damage and destruction within the borders of Navarine. We're gathering information. There may be claims. There may be liabilities. These are not decisions I will make.
The appearance These of are what decisions. Structure?
Liabilities.
So, if we were victims of this structure as much as your country was, we're to be held accountable for it?
I am a simple priest. I do not work for the Queen. I'm simply here to gather information. This may be an excellent opportunity for you to explain what has taken place. It might go a long way towards resolving any liability.
You've not treated you might me well. Locking me up is not going to make me cooperate. I'm at your mercy, but I'm not going to tell you anything now. Bring me food.
Of course. We will bring food immediately. And the Iron Priest departs.
How did I role play not getting well along with people? Not getting along well with people. Pretty well.
You did well. You didn't do one XP well, but you did well.
I know. I wasn't a fish for XP. That was just...
That's fine. I don't think that Dalen was fishing for that XP. If he was,
It's Ty. Of course he was.
He's playing at a much higher level than I am at this point in time. So, and that leaves Remenel. The Ion Priest steps in. What's Remenel's reaction?
She's kind of cross-legged on the bed. And it looks like she's meditating or in a trance or something like that. She doesn't react when he walks in.
Alright. He just stands there for a few moments and observes Remenel. And then he says, "Pardon, sister."
How can I help you?
Well, I'm very curious as to what it is that you are doing. Do you have some formal training in mystical insight or deep thinking?
Merely easing my mind.
That would make much sense after the very obvious travails you've had. I'm curious, how was it that you came to be in that structure? Crashed into a lake here in Navarine.
She's hesitant. She doesn't really want to talk about it. I think she's not a huge fan of these people. She says, "We were helping a young girl."
Admirable. In what way did this young girl need assistance?
Her brother needed to be rescued.
Oh, I forgot about the brother.
From the structure in the lake? We are certain that we found the four of you, and there were no other bodies, living or deceased, in the structure.
We were the only ones in that structure. We got there through means that I'm not sure about.
Well, describe those means. The Order of Truth is always looking for information to help us understand the past so that we can build for a better future.
at his fishing, she shuts down. and says, I can't exactly recall. It's been a strange few days.
Is it that you cannot recall, or you are unwilling to recall?
What difference does it make to you?
To me, it may make no difference at all. To you, it might make all the difference.
Ooh, very character-y.
I don't take kindly to threats.
Ooh. Oh, I am... Pardon me, sister. I apologize if I have spoken unfortunately. I simply am trying to convey to you that soon you are going to have an opportunity to plead your case before the High Chancellor of Navarine, the right hand of the Queen. There is much to discuss. How you came to be in that structure, how that structure came to be crashed into a lake in Navarine, all will be important in deciding how to proceed. This is your opportunity to provide answers and information that could be of assistance. A reluctance to discuss might be viewed suspiciously by some. Again, I do not pass judgment. I simply gather information for the greater glory of the Order of Truth. I am not a government official, but you must choose what to reveal, and I must, by requirement, report what you do and what you don't share.
And she closes her eyes and says, well, I better gather my thoughts then.
I hope you have great success in that gathering, Rimmonel. And he walks out. And you have an uneventful few hours trip, and then you notice, let's get out of that. What did I just do? I just got out of the game. Let me get back in there. There we go. You notice as sundown approaches, this is for representational purposes versus specific tactical analysis and evaluation of elevation of mountains and, you know, structural integrity of fortifications, so on and so forth. But this is to give you some sense of Charmande as you approach on the river. What you notice about Charmande are that there are six bridges connecting. There's actually a north and a south portion of Charmande, and the river passes through it, and there are six bridges between those, the north and south. You dock on the north side, and you are escorted out by members of what appear to be the Navarine military for a description, although it might be more accurate to consider this to potentially be either the Charmande Civic Guard or potentially Queen Armalo's Armalu. Let me spell that for you. Armalu, who is the Queen of Navarine. And Daylan, as a native of Navarine, is well aware that the Queen has been alive for 253 years.
All hail the Queen.
A little bit on the high side. So, and this guard is escorting you up to her palace, which is known as the Impaternal House, which is basically, if you look at that picture, that structure at the very top, and get in general terms, this is not an actual image of Charmond. To my knowledge, there's not an actual image of Charmond currently available. But I thought this image did a good job based on the description. So you're going to the palace, gentlemen. And again, you notice as you move through the city that certainly for the three of you who are not, at least as far as we know at this point in time, not from Navarine, very likely this is one of the finest cities you've ever seen. Certainly one of the largest cities you've ever seen. And the structures are all impressive in their both their design, their architecture, and in the materials used to build them. The streets are orderly. The populace appears to be generally, you know, positive. Those people that you can see as you're making your way up to the fortress or the paternal house seem to be happy, productive, positive members of the community. This appears to be generally be a place where you would say that at least the area that you're in right now appears to be mostly better off, well off people. You do notice that there are clearly some people who are servants. And again, Daylan understands, as a native of Navarine, that slavery is a legally recognized institution in Navarine, and it's a status that someone can have. And so Daylan's fairly certain that some of the people who are acting as servants are most likely personal slaves of the various people that are going about their affairs. And you arrive at the paternal house. As the guards take you to – you enter the main part of the house, which is a walled-off structure to start with. So you pass through the outer walls, and then you move into the inner structure. And again, initially when you come in, there are what you would normally expect to see in – a large palace or government structure, you know, entry rooms and then larger halls. But then what you find interesting is as you make your way deeper into the structure, you arrive at a doorway that now looks more like a tube. And there is a circular door on it. And once you arrive there, one of the attendants to the door manipulates a control, and the circular door swings open. You and the rest of your group, your escorts, move into this tunnel, for lack of a better term. And you notice that probably 50 feet at the end of the tunnel is another circular doorway. Exit, for lack of a better term, that's closed. And once you pass in and the group is fully in, the circular door closes behind. And each of you, and you notice a very fine mist begins blowing over everyone in the group. The guards with you appear to be completely unconcerned about this, like they've probably done this 1,000 times. There's no obvious physical impediment to you or impairment. You know, it doesn't make you sleepy or change your feeling or anything. It doesn't really leave you wet per se. Again, a very, very fine mist. That goes on for about a minute, and then the exit door opens. You walk out. You make your way deeper in. You go through one of these type situations at least 2 more times. And then the very last section that you move through, you go into another one of these long corridors. But this time there's no mist, but there's a series of lights that you pass through. They appear to have different colors. As you pass through each light, again, the guards look completely bored with the process. Like, let's just how long till we get where we get with these guys so we can go back to doing whatever else we're doing. They don't appear bothered at all. You don't discern any noticeable difference. There's no sensation as you pass through the different lights. And you exit this last section, and you arrive in a large room, and I need to do something. Let me get over here. And let's do that. You notice some various functionaries in there, people that, based on your experience, you probably appear to be like clerks or functionaries. There are guards in the room. The guards that brought you continue to be there. The Aeon priest that was on the boat was with you until this room, and then basically right before this room, he ended up going in a different direction, and you're not quite sure where he is at this point in time. But you notice in the room there are four chairs set out for you. Probably about 15 feet away from those chairs, there's a large desk, for lack of a better term. Although table might be a better descriptor. And seated in a position of prominence, you see a person. Well, why didn't that work? Let's do that. There we go. Let's make her a little bit bigger. Can y'all see that? I put it below the picture of Charmond.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Can you see her?
Yep.
Oh. Yes, sir.
So the four of you are ushered in. She rises. Gentlemen and lady, welcome to Charmond. I'm Chancellor Halleck. We have much to talk about. Please be seated. What do you guys do?
I'll sit down.
Do we have any of our belongings, your armor and weapons and all that kind of crap? Or?
Nope.
We're down to just some clothes.
Just down to some clothes.
What?
Yeah, I suspect we have much to discuss. So, yes, I'll have a seat right here. Thank you.
Remenel sits without saying anything.
All right. And what's Hamet do?
Sorry.
Did we lose?
No, we have personal home management issues at the moment. Hamet glare and stand for like 10 seconds and then kind of sit down sulkily.
The Chancellor Halleck just gives you a look.
Did you ready?
Gives Hamet a look, and the best way to describe it is do you think this is the first audience that I have conducted? Your glare did not appear to have any meaningful impact on Chancellor. And again, Daylan, you recognize Chancellor Halleck is in fact the equivalent of what some people might call a prime minister, although there is no democracy in Navarine. In a sense that people don't go vote. Again, this is a monarchy. But the queen does need ministers and assistants, and the chancellor is the head of that bureaucracy and oftentimes handles matters for the queen, generally considered to be the voice of the queen. You could always risk trying to go above the chancellor to the queen, but again, you know from experience, you've heard stories about in the trade halls about people who attempted to maneuver around the chancellor and things ended poorly for them. So she sits back, seats herself, and the one of the scribes with her hands her something that looks like a
I guess Lev plate. Is still standing by the door.
Oh, did Lev not go sit down?
Everybody got to describe their seating. But I
I'm sorry.
Do it with a flourish, Lev.
Most thankful to meet you, Madam Chancellor.
I think,
I'll take a seat right over here. Thank you.
Something creative. Excellent.
Well played.
So, I can tell from your accent, sir, and she's looking at Daylan now, that you appear to be from Navarine. Is that correct?
You found me out, Chancellor. Proud member of...
I will look for it.
Proud citizen of Shalamas.
Ah, excellent. Excellent. Well,
proud subject of the Queen.
Excellent. Well, hopefully your companions here understand the importance of an audience with the Chancellor. It is rare that three strangers to our land upon their immediate arrival could end in such an audience.
Well, they are very ways.
So, Master Daylan, is it?
Ah, yes. That is me. At your service.
What can you tell me of the circumstances that led to your return to Navarine?
Well, it seems a popular story recently. We are but modest businessmen and women, I should say, out on a journey to make our fortunes and explore this beautiful land under the Queen's rule. Why shouldn't we be here in the capital city?
What profit was there to be had in crashing a structure into Navarine, causing extensive damage to one of our local communities?
That was not part of the plan.
What was the plan, Daylan, if you would be so kind?
We were simply helping out some fellow citizens in need, some family matters, and a couple turns later, you know how it ended up.
I feel that there is much more to the story that needs to be told. She turns to Lev. Kind sir, what can you tell me about the circumstances of your arrival here?
Well, I mean, as I spoke to one of your the Aeon Priest earlier, I don't recall much of the events that led us here, but I do recall, as Daylan had mentioned, that we were assisting one of your possible local citizens, you know, who was in distress, and one thing led to another, and we ended up on some strange vessel, or we're not quite sure what it was, but it eventually it had started to break up wherever we were. It was starting to crumble around us. Next thing I know, we pass out, and I'm told later that we had crashed, and we wake up on some boat, you know, with a bunch of priests on it.
How exactly did you get to this strange structure?
If I remember correctly, we were out, as Daylan had mentioned, you know, seeking adventure. Looking for work and exploring the local surroundings, and we found a woman who was in distress who needed some help in finding her brother, who happened to have gotten mixed up with this wrong crowd, and one thing led to another. We ended up in some prison-like facility somehow. I can't really explain how we got there. It was all so strange. But next thing I know, we are fighting for our life against some strange night automaton. Did not seem human like you and I, but I haven't run into anything like it before, but it was quite a challenge to overcome it. And, you know, we barely escaped with our lives. And at the same time that we had defeated this, you know, the structure that defeated this enemy, the structure that we were in, started to deteriorate and break up, and next thing I know, I wake up on a ship, you know, in the middle of this lake. That's all I really recall, really.
Young lady.
He kind of motions over. He doesn't want to reveal too because, you know, he makes a passing glance at Rimnal.
Tell you what, why don't you make a... Let's pull your character sheet up real quick.
Did we all heal and all that stuff?
Yeah, mm-hmm. You guys can refill all your pools.
Nice.
Yeah, he kind of intentionally didn't, you know, he didn't want to mention Abersol and the telepathic link to Rimnal, you know, because... Right.
Tell you what, why don't you make a... I'm just looking at your... Quit jumping around your character sheet. You trying to mess me up?
Oh, sorry. You can see that.
That's fine.
Okay.
Yes. It's like in the Vassal module when it recenters when the other player does something. Right. It's very annoying. Gotcha. So, why don't you go ahead and make a intellect roll with a difficulty of 15?
15, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Five.
Well, right. Yeah. Target number 15.
Yeah. Okay. I would like to spend a little effort on this. Did our pools?
Yep. Pools, everything's full.
Everything's full.
Load it back up.
All right. Hold on.
You might be down, if I remember correctly, you might be down one speed because you're not trained in armor, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm. And I think I can bring the difficulty down by one because he has an edge in intellect, too. So rolling against a 12, correct?
An edge would just be an effort for two instead of three.
Right, you'd have to spend two of your intellect.
Oh, okay, yeah. All right.
Okay. Okay. Two instead of three. There you go.
Got it. There we go.
Boom.
Right.
She looks skeptical. And you get the sense that she is not buying what you're selling at this point in time. So she turns to Rimnal. Young lady, what can you tell me about how this structure came to be crashed into our native soil with the loss of life and some rather extensive damages?
And Rimnal bows, you know, seated kind of from the waist. My lady, we were told we were the only people on board. Can I ask about the loss of life? Were there people on the lake?
No, you may not.
Rimnal sits up straight in her chair. She says, "My companions have answered your questions truthfully. Why are you not taking our answers? What
are you telling me? And think carefully before you answer this question. That I've been told the whole truth about this matter?"
We've answered your questions truthfully. We don't know how we boarded that ship. We don't know why that ship crashed. We don't know where that ship crashed. We had nothing to do with the crash. We were sent aboard by means we're not aware of.
Describe those means.
I guess portal is the word I would use.
What did this portal look like?
I don't remember. And that's Jason saying that.
As you are, that's fine. That's fine. That's perfect dramatic timing. As Rimnal is fumbling with that answer, you hear a loud, booming voice from behind.
He doesn't look nice.
It was a fiery vortex that he passed, she passed through with her fellow adventurers. That is how they arrived in the structure. And you if you choose to turn, you see this gentleman has just come walking into the chambers. Everybody give me a intellect roll. I'm not going to tell you what the difficulty is. And but if anybody has any skills or abilities that you think would assist you in assessing a social situation or social interactions. I know two of you probably have disabilities, if I remember correctly, mm-hmm. or inabilities in that regard. I think that's Dalen and Hammett. Both of y'all have inabilities on that stuff, right?
I have no social
interests. Yeah. A little rough on the rough edges.
And I can scan, but I don't really have any social graces.
And you don't want Lev around to solve puzzles or problems.
Right. Okay. So everybody just give me a int roll. So let's see what we got. Okay, Lev. Yeah, don't really worry about a difficulty. So Dalen, did you just throw a 15 down?
I did.
Big dog.
But you have an inability, don't you?
Yes.
Let's see what that says real quick.
The before task I... is increased by one step.
That's unfortunate, isn't it?
Who's this asshole?
I wouldn't mind scanning if I could.
Let me look at scanning one more time, and
it says you can scan an area in size equal to a 10-foot cube, including all objects or creatures within that area. The area must be within short range. Scanning a creature object always reveals its level. You also learn whatever facts the GM feels are pertinent about the matter and energy in that area.
Okay. Is there a particular thing you're trying to use? Because I feel like that's more in regards to items versus people.
He's a creature.
Okay. We should be able to tell his...
Yeah, just to kind of get it. So, well, I mean, out of the game, we know his level. But just to see if there's anything I can pick up about him specifically, not the situation necessarily.
Do you know his level outside the game?
Mm-hmm.
Are you making the assumption based on what I said to Dalen?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Assumptions are so good, right?
Right. Well, just something I think I can fairly share. One of the things that the GM has the ability to do in this game is you can assign a general level to an NPC that kind of gives you the base idea for that PC. But you also have the ability to go in and then give them different mm-hmm. specific levels for things they might be strong in or things they might be weak in. So knowing their general level might give you some very rough idea, but it may not necessarily assist you with understanding all their strengths and weaknesses unless they do things that manifest those strengths. And it might help you with weaknesses. So I will say it costs you 2 intellect to do that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead. Spend your 2 intellect. I'm not actually sure it's a roll for scan, is it?
I don't think so.
I feel like it is. Yeah. I think it's just it is. Roll, it's just,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's a... Yeah. All right. So, the first thing that you're doing your scan, and one of the first things that you happen to notice as you're doing your scan is one of the functionaries seated next to the chancellor immediately jerks up and begins looking directly at you.
Sweet.
And the second sense you get is that there's various Numenera on this table that the Chancellor's at. The table itself might be – and again, a table, desk, trying to create the right picture for this. It's large. You know, multiple people can sit at it. So I feel like it's like a large table, but it's structured more like a desk. Okay. Almost like this thing was purpose-built for – the Chancellor to sit at and to have these people surrounding the Chancellor.
Like the Bud Light commercial?
Maybe. So, and you get the sense that these two main players are probably somewhere level 4, level 5 in general. But you also got the sense that either through some natural ability or through some Numenera, they have an ability to limit someone's ability to scan them. Okay. Let's just put it that way. You know, you don't get a clean read on them, sure. And you have some suspicions that is some type of countermeasure that's involved. And the functionary that was looking directly at you has leaned over and whispered to the Chancellor. But the Chancellor's dealing with this man who's just entered the room and begun to explain how it is that y'all traveled to the Citadel of Radiance. Cardinal Orsini, she says, what brings you to an audience of the Chancellor's? And he responds, I'm here to tell you about these four travelers and to make a recommendation. Well, Cardinal, you do understand that you have no official standing in this proceeding, and he gives her a small nod that pretty clearly even to Hamet and Dalen,
a low bar.
They're like, even to those guys, it's like, yeah, like you're nodding your head to her, which is like the appropriate deferential thing. But it's kind of like you're saying F you the way you're doing it. So you're starting to pick up that there's a little bit of tension here between the Cardinal and the Chancellor. Obviously, you don't know why. But the Cardinal stops talking. And the Chancellor turns back to Rimino. So, young lady, has the Chancellor's jogged your memory on how it is that you entered this so-called citadel? This would be Reminel's opportunity to talk.
I think Jason wrote he's got to go put the kid to bed.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
So no.
No, exactly. Reminel's deep in thought at this point in time. Dang it. That was like the exact wrong time. And he told me it was coming. So there you warn go. You. Yeah. He did warn me.
Well.
You want to give me my edge now?
Well, no, we're broke. Let's see what I can do with this.
Still looking over the advantages right now.
Yeah. So the Chancellor turns to Hamet.
Of course.
So, strong warrior, what can you tell me about your arrival here in Navarine?
I already told you. I don't know anything.
I find that to be an unpersuasive statement.
Good for you.
Well, perhaps with a sufficient period of time for you to gather your thoughts, you might be able to provide some useful information. I'm sure if we were to give you a number of days or weeks or years, would that assist you in understanding and remembering what took place?
Threats won't help. I really don't understand what you're trying to ascertain. We've told you the information that we know. none of us remember how we got there. In the lake, that is.
I feel still that while I've been told truth in this audience, I've not been told the complete truth. Why don't... Hold on one second. Hummet. Let me get your sheet back up. Why don't you make a intellect defense roll? And you are trying to beat a... It's a difficulty 5.
Let's see.
So basically you have to beat a 15.
Yow. And I could spend effort, I guess, huh, if I wanted to. Or no.
You could. Yep. Yep.
I'm thinking... So if I spend 3 points of intellect, I could reduce it to a 4?
Correct. Yep.
Okay. Let's do that. I will spend them. Let's see. I think I just put an effort on there. What is the second number? Effort to increase damage. Oh. Effort to lower difficulty. All right. Let's see if this button works. I don't know if it will. Mm-hmm. API. Is it that one? Mm-hmm. Nope.
No.
I don't know why I have a trained minus 1. But anyway, I rolled a 7.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think you have a train in anything that would help you out.
I don't know why it's doing that. Oh, because I put the skill as... I was trying to... Like, if you want to do a roll against... Anyway, I should have just hit the intellect button. But
okay. All right. All right. So, she's not buying it, Hamet. So... Once again,
I'm not selling anything, bitch.
Tell me how. Tell me how you came to be in the Citadel, then. Let's start there.
We went through a portal. We talked about that.
Well, Cardinal Arsini has talked to me about that. I've yet to hear it from your mouth.
I think Reminel say we went through a portal. I believe those were the words that came out of her mouth directly. The Chancellor said something about fire. Sure, fire, whatever. Portal's a portal. What does it matter? Look, we came upon this thing in a river. There was a girl. Her brother was captured. We went in. We did some shit. We went through a portal. We rescued the brother. We came to this strange place. We fought a dude. And then we end up on your boat. That's all we remember, seriously.
Mm-hmm. Rex, is there anything that I know about Cardinal Rossini?
You would know that he's a member of the Order of Truth. Mm-hmm. You would know that he is... And again, I'm... metagame for a second.
Sure.
I struggle with using these titles. I like using them because they're easy to latch onto, but I do worry that sometimes they y'all might fill too much in or get too much predisposition towards what the term means. So he's a high-ranking official in the Order of Truth. And in the major cities, you do know that the Order of Truth has begun to engage in some ritual surrounding their search for knowledge and information. So somewhat religious in nature in the sense that, again, it creates ritual. But his primary function, to your knowledge, is he represents the Order of Truth. But maybe in a way, think of him as the ambassador from the Order of Truth to the Queen. Hmm. But that's really you've probably heard the name a few times in passing, but that's about all you would really know about him is that he is, the Order of Truth's representative here in Charmond, in that he interacts with the Queen. You would assume that he speaks on behalf of the Amber Pope. But that's all you really know about him. So, okay. All right. So the Chancellor looks up at Cardinal Orsini. What is it that you have to offer? And Cardinal Orsini looks at the four of you and says, well, I think these four have had the most extraordinary of adventures. I also think that they have been mostly truthful in telling you of their adventures. And whatever lapses there may be in what they've represented could easily be explained by the traumatic circumstances of their arrival here. I'm confident that they pose no threat to Navarine, that they pose no threat to the Queen, and they pose no threat to you, Chancellor. The Chancellor appears to be not completely buying that either. But you can't really tell, is that a product of her assessment of this situation, or is it a product of some degree of distrust that she has for Orsini? And that you really can't figure out at this point in time. So, but he goes on to say that, in fact, I believe, and it's the position of the Order of Truth, that these four adventurers actually could be an asset and a benefit to both the Order and to Navarine. Reactions? As he says that?
Hommet's going to keep a poker face.
Oh, we can always be an asset for the right price.
Lev's kind of steps forward, you know, and he sees, you know, he wants to, you know, all due respects, Madam Chancellor. I was, you know, I was curious why, you know, we as we had told you before, you know, we were being very honest about our recent, you know, our recent encounter and what led us to where we are today. I'd also like to add that, you know, we were once employed by a Roxa, and, you know, to add a little bit more as to why we were where we were simply scouting out, as we had mentioned, on her behalf, and then we were to report back to her, you know, in the coming weeks, you know, on anything of interest that we may have found out there. And I'd also like to come back, you know, why you guys were so intent on, you know, on finding out on what, why we, where we, why we were where we were. Was there, is there anything else you can add to, or maybe fill us in as to what we were on and what it is that, why you guys, why you're so concerned with the events that led us to where we are today?
Give me an intro, Lev. And okay, well, there you go. She looks at you, looks back at Orsini, says, well, Master Lev, I'm not disposed to answer questions of you at this time, but the Cardinal has given me some room for thought. So I'm going to excuse you. We will make arrangements for you to dine here in the house and rest while I discuss with Cardinal Orsini his proposition that you are actually assets for our benefit. And they excuse you out. Each of you is taken to a separate room. Again, nice room. There's food and drink. But again, you get the sense that you're not allowed to leave the room. In fact, the doors are locked once you're in the room. Is Jason back with us yet?
Guess not.
Does not. So Let me just do something real quick. I'll go over here and do that thing. I just want to... Well, that's weird. Ah, there we go. Couldn't find the thing that I was looking for. Now I have found it. So I'm going to take a minute while we wait for Jason to get back to work on something real quick. If you guys want to talk amongst yourselves for a few moments.
You don't have to be.
Just going to work on something.
Okay.
Maybe I need a GM moment. So
You're going to intrude a little bit, just a tip? All right.
Haven't intruded yet.
No, so. I know. I can feel it coming, though. I can feel a little bit of pressure.
We'll see.
Uh-huh.
You know, we'll Pat... Pass the time. Is there any way Lev can convince Hammett and Dalen to arm wrestle? Let's see.
What are we arm wrestling for, Remino?
Just in time.
Oh, he's back.
Oh, he's back.
Ignore the screaming
your
in the background.
Big moment, Mr. DeMille. You were ready for your close up and your child rearing duties. Your babysitting duties came up at just the wrong time.
I apologize.
Oh, no.
That's right.
We totally agreed that it was all Rex's fault.
Yeah, I completely missed that you had done the I'm out thing, so...
Yeah, and he built it up, too. It was good. It was really good.
Yeah, it
and so it went over to
good.
Hammett, and then things went bad. Although, you know, they're looking better now. Maybe.
So, Hammett, why don't you go out of character for a second and succinctly describe to Jason what took place while I'm GMing a couple things.
So, there was basically the Chancellor dude, the Chancellor woman, was really wanting the truth and basically kind of said, do you want to... she was not... I don't know if somebody wants to jump in here.
Yeah, she wasn't buying.
She wasn't buying it.
Mm-hmm. She thought there was more to the story that we weren't telling.
She kind of laid down an ultimatum, and Rex put it all out before you, and then we told, and then you had left. So then it went over to Hammett, and Hammett was like abrupt and curt, but gave an overall summary of everything everyone else had just said, and said, you know, that's all we know. And then Ty wiggled some sort of strings on the other guy, the cardinal guy, and he stood up for us and said, you know, it may be that the stress of their adventure has taken a toll, and you know, he believes that what we're telling is the truth and maybe all we know, and that perhaps we would be better, more useful to whatever this place is called, if we were
Navarine.
In the employ of Navarine. And then our GM was looking for reactions to that.
So we're not leaving anything big out, right? Like I'm not trying to be.
Well, I think you're leaving your mind.
Yeah.
Connection. Your mind with that. That's the one piece that maybe, I don't know if that's what they're trying to dig up, and okay. I'm not going to make, you know, Hammett doesn't even, you know, I kind of know that happened to you, but you know. You know, I'm not gonna make Remnel do something that makes her feel uncomfortable, because I'm still hoping to hit that. So,
hey, Remnel appreciates that. We're big on consent.
That's right.
I'm not too familiar with the whole metagaming term and all that stuff, but are we all kind of in agreement? This is Samer, not Lev talking. All in kind of an agreement, you know, that we believe that Ebersol, that we were in some kind of prison facility. Ebersol was telepathically linked with Remino, and he was trying to get us to break him out. And we don't want to reveal that to her because, you know, it's possible that they put them there. Is that, or there is some connection. They know exactly what that
Ebersol
was.
Ebersol was in
is that. Is that where we're kind of hiding here?
No. No. Well, Hammett and Duck were both clueless about that particular theory. So
yeah, I don't think I gathered that. I wouldn't assume that they have anything to do with it. I was more coming from it of it's it was kind of a fucked up situation, and it's not something she's really understanding and ready to talk about. And doesn't really want anything to do with these people, so she's not going to be super forthcoming, but I don't think she's being, like, shady about anything. She's not purposely leaving anything out. She's not sure what the mind link was, so she's just kind of doesn't want to talk about it.
Yeah, I think it's perfectly in character to not bring that up. But.
Right.
It's an interesting theory there, Sammer.
Right.
Yeah.
So, basically what happened was the Chancellor sent the four of y'all out to Chambers, and so she could confer with Orsini without you present. That's kind of where you stand. So the next morning, you are summoned back to the Chancellor's audience. And when you enter, the Chancellor is there along with Cardinal Orsini. She welcomes you back. Same seats that you were in before. So, Master Lev, yesterday you questioned me about what had taken place. And Rimnel, you also were concerned about the death and destruction that your venture wreaked upon Navarine. Having spoken with the Cardinal, or spoken with the Cardinal, here is what I am willing to share with you at this time. That the structure that you were found in crashed into the ground and the water where you were found. That was a location that had been of great interest. There was a ruin that had been recently discovered that contained vast artifacts and countless items of Numenera that were being researched, being recovered, items that potentially could have helped Navarine with the threat from the north. All of that went to naught when your structure crashed into that location, leading to the death of some of our brightest Iron Priests, some of our wisest soldiers and government officials perished in that crash. Place yourself in.
This is the Chancellor telling.
You would see under the circumstances why the most immediate assumption would be that this was a hostile act, an act intending to cause grievous damage to the kingdom of Navarine, an act that would potentially undermine our ability to defend ourselves and to prosecute the great crusade that has been called by the Order of Truth and the Amber Pope. That is the answer to the questions that you placed to me. Understanding that, has the evening's rest, food and drink, helped any of you form a better recollection of what it is that took place? How is it is that you came to be here?
Can I
look,
Master Lev?
And if you guys want to shut Hammett up, you can.
No, I like
never.
What are you trying to learn?
Yeah, that's.
We don't understand. Yeah. We've told you.
I'll let Hammett ask that question because that's what I want to know.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
There's nothing else. We've told you what happened. We're sorry that you're that would, this thing came down, but it was not under our control.
We gave ourselves up for dead. We did not cause that.
Yes. All due respect, Madam Chancellor, we were just as much, although we were very fortunate, unlike some of the victims, you know, in the accident, but we were just as caught up in, we already almost perished as well. If, you know, could have been a very different outcome.
Yeah, if we were really unlucky.
Daylin.
She mentioned something about conflict with the North.
Correct.
What do we know? How go things with our neighbors to the North?
She kind of arches her eyebrows. Neighbors? I think this is the first time I ever heard the Gaians referred to as neighbors. Barbarians? Enemies of truth? Orsini kind of nods his head with that. Threat to our existence? These are all terms that I'm familiar with. Are you neighborly with the Gaians?
No, but surely a culture as backwards as the Gaians pose no threat to our great land.
Daylin's the best.
And Orsini intervenes at this point and says, well, Daylin, the Amber Pope disagrees. The Gaians are a existential threat to not only Navarine, but to all of the kingdoms, to the order of truth, to our very existence. Their beliefs are dangerous, and their efforts to secure the cloud crystal sky fields could result in great harm to all of the nine kingdoms. Therefore, the Pope has declared a crusade. Many from Navarine and the surrounding kingdoms have answered that call. In fact, that call has now created a circumstance where I believe you can show our dear Chancellor, and by extension the Queen, that you are in fact the assets I believe you to be. So I believe the choice is going to be yours. Provide some service to us to show that your intentions are true and honest and that you are of assistance, or decline, and unfortunately I will no longer be able to be able to intervene in this matter. The Chancellor just has kind of a torn look on her face. Almost like she's hoping you say no, but
that would go against Lev's desire to help others, you know, and he can see it on her face, and he immediately interjects. It's a Madam Chancellor, in an effort to build some goodwill between us, you know, given the unfortunate incidents that recently happened, we'd be more than happy to assist you in any matters you need assistance in.
Helmet's going to go, fuck.
Wait, who did she say they're going to war with?
The Gaians. Gaians. So it's either Gaians or Gaians.
Are they way north?
They are
way north
in the cloud crystal sky fields. So here, let's do this. You're going to deduce at some point during the course of this process that this is.
Is this place that we're on, or is this on the Numenera map?
Yeah.
Yep.
So I've determined that Remnel is from Uxfun, kind of just north of Charmond. So she might be lumped into this.
Yeah. Get her.
So when she hears neighbors from the north, she kind of sits up a little bit straighter.
Is she going to volunteer that she's from?
No.
Are we supposed to figure out where the fuck we're from? Is I supposed to be doing something? Damn it.
Well, no. You don't have to. At any point in the process where you think it would move the story along, or it'd be interesting, or you'd want to explore. Hey, I'm from X. I'm just trying to figure out if Jason is messing with me at this point in time.
No, if you look at my character sheet, it's been in there since we started.
That is fantastic. Every once in a while,
it's in my background.
I screw up and get lucky. So, because I did not realize that was in there when I
barbarian.
All right, so I think I've revealed.
Uxfawn is like just north of the obelisk of the water god.
Yep. Come on. All right. So this is basically. Can y'all see the map now?
Yep.
All right. So y'all are in Charmond, in the Jarabost River. If you guys look in the rule book, there's a map for the overall Steadfast. In this area north of the Tithe River is called the Cloud Crystal Skyfields. Mm-hmm. And the Tithe River basically is the northern border of Navarine.
And the Steadfast, right?
And effectively the Steadfast as well. And again, the Steadfast is not necessarily a term that anyone living in the Steadfast would use for the Steadfast. Mm-hmm. It's really more of a game term, I think, to like someone living in Navarine would not say, oh, I live in the Steadfast. They'd say, I live in Navarine. Mm-hmm. So whereas if you live in the Beyond, you might very well say you live in the Beyond, because there's really no meaningful subunit other than like the village or town you live in the Beyond to describe it. So north of the Tithe River are the Clouds Crystal Skyfields, and known that way because throughout that region are these vast crystals that float over the landscape, and there are many rumors and theories about what they are and how they work and whether they're mystical, whether they're magical, whether they're Numenera, and there's a group of people called the Gaians or Gaians that are animists, for lack of a better term, who worship the planet and have very religious beliefs, truly religious beliefs, contrary to the Order of Truth's beliefs. And the Ember Pope has demanded that a crusade be launched to clear the Cloud Crystal Skyfields of the Gaian presence and whatever it is they're attempting to achieve in there. And now I have to go deal with a little one for a second. So okay. I won't let you talk amongst yourselves.
Or we can theorize.
Or you can theorize.
Where was that map again?
So the one you probably want to look at is on page 138.
I'll be back in a minute.
Okay, all right. I like where this is going.
Or 136, rather, in the by page
and
number.
And there's a Navarine map on 137.
Yeah.
Sweet. I like that we're exploring this Numenera world. This is going to be a fun jaunt. Let's see here.
I like the world, no matter what Jason thinks.
Yeah, I like the world. I don't know. It's hard to describe. Like, I'm fascinated to play in it. So that's what it is. I want to play in it. I don't necessarily want to run it. If that clears up.
That can make sense.
Yeah.
There's definitely a lot of weird in this world.
It is. Yeah, it's got a weirdness.
Yeah, it's like. I don't know. It's definitely not the D&D world where everything is kind of like your typical fantasy Tolkien.
Yeah, but the D&D world was kind of weird until D&D made it standard. Just saying.
Yeah.
They definitely use. Yeah. I think it's pretty original. Yeah, but no, it wouldn't be a system. It wouldn't be on my top five to run. That's for sure. But
That's what I mean.
Yeah. No,
you
I
have a lot of imagination to. Even with 400-page rule books, there's got to be it's a huge world, it looks like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, one of the things, you know, people are fascinated by the setting, but one of the criticisms of the setting is that he's thrown in so much weirdness you know how I don't know the proper how to properly say this, but with some worlds, there's this you can kind of sense how everything is tied together and works a certain way. You know how magic works in some settings and stuff like that. But this, there's so much weirdness going around. It's like he's thrown all these different tropes thrown in here, you know, all these and stuff that he's made up, you know, and it doesn't seem like it kind of meshes, or how does this blend or exist in this particular world under the certain laws of nature, you know?
Yeah, but it's not as egregious as Rifts, right? Oh, No, Rifts is its own system. I mean, you could play Rifts with GURPS, but it's almost like you could play anything with GURPS. But But no, Rifts, the theory behind Rifts is like, you know, there's portal to all these other imaginary worlds. And so, like, whatever you want, you just go through the portal, or it comes out of the portal. So it's
And it's,
I mean, it has its own like style, and some people love it, right? But
right. I guess the difference is on Numenera, or this ninth world, you don't have to go through a portal. You can just walk across the land a little bit, and you'll eventually run into some weird place.
I like this. I mean, I've read the Rifts rule books, and it seems interesting, but this seems a little less cheesy. If you get
by a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm digging it, though. I'm looking forward to the second edition when this comes out.
Yeah. No, I got that Kickstarter too, so I like it enough that I went in. Of course, maybe I don't need to like it that much for that to happen, but
no, passing interest will do.
Yes,
and right. Actually, why do you think they came out with another? They're coming out with another version so soon, or is that the way to think about it?
I think they.
Tell me more about this money.
He said.
How would one get it?
How does one get it? What does one do with it?
I think they've said it's not technically a new edition. It's more of a refinement of the current one.
Everything's supposed to be compatible.
Yeah.
The rule book is being redone to make it easier to learn, which I don't think it's really that hard to learn. It's a little – it could be better organized.
They kind of did what they did like the GURPS, where it's like a player's book and a GM book almost.
Yeah.
But it's a setting book and a –
Right.
And system.
I get the sense it was same basic rules reorganization. I mean, the rules really aren't that complicated. So, I mean, I like the system.
Yeah, most of the book is setting stuff.
Correct. It's,
setting and creatures and what Numenera and ciphers are and that kind of stuff.
I will say I do like the way, and I haven't, you know, I haven't played a lot of. I don't know how many other games are like this, but I do like the ability to manage your resources and doing certain tasks and stuff like that. Like you have a finite number of resources. I never felt that in GURPS. I felt like I could just do whatever I wanted to do every single time and never get tired or.
Well, that's just because your GM's lazy.
Oh,
there are systems for that in GURPS. Like,
being able to spend from the pool to make things easier, which are also hit points like that.
That's
that
a cool
resource. Mechanism. Yeah. It's really cool.
Yeah, I totally dig it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Looking for it. Yeah, that cyberpunk cipher system game is coming out. That definitely looks interesting.
Yeah, I have a coupon at my local game store that I'm going to spend on that. It's $60, which seems a little bit pricey, but.
Wasn't that based off a series of books or something called Vert?
Is
that what it was? Oh, it's Vert.
Yep. Yeah, Jeff Noon is the author. They're really good. They're a little on the Shadowrun side. There are like, but it's kind of like our game. It's gene splicing instead of magic. So there's like dog creatures, but they're like genetic experiments going on.
What is with like every role playing game I'm in has dogs.
I will admit that is the one aspect of that Vert game that I wasn't too keen on was
when I started reading
there's like what vampires and elves and all these fantasy characters rather than straight up
there shouldn't be elves but part of the series takes place in like almost like an MMO that's like a drug So I'm wondering if maybe because I just kind of flipped through it. You can have there are rules for the real world and for the Vert world. So I'm wondering if maybe like the elves and stuff are in the video game side.
That would be mm-hmm. Yeah. So I thought of you guys when I saw the preview for that show Bright on Netflix.
I know.
I'm guessing that's not Jason's. Dave liked it though on Facebook. He said, "Yeah."
Yep. GM back, by the way.
Okay.
Well, one little thing I'd like to add too, if you guys like this kind of science fantasy stuff, like this new, have you guys ever played that Horizon Zero Dawn PS4 game, that role playing game? Mm-hmm. That actually is a Numenera game. It's like this tribal, this almost
Numenera
medieval
games, but they got some shitty reviews when because they were on Steam, and I was like, ooh.
What? Horizon Zero Dawn?
No. There's a Numenera RPG, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I actually bought that. I don't know if you saw it. Yeah.
Torment. Numenera.
I actually bought that, and I bought the. There was a book that I guess one of the co-founder or co-writers of this Numenera system, or at least the background, the setting, Charmin Garrett. I can't remember her name, but anyway, she wrote this source book, this Tides of Numenera source book that came with that. For the game, it's not like a guide that tells you where everything is or anything like that. It's more a settings book that you can actually use in RPG games if you want to explore a pen and paper version of the computer game.
That's cool.
Yeah. Apparently the computer game is just buggy. It's a re-implementation of Planescape Torment, it sounds like, which is a good game, so why you wouldn't just get that if you haven't played it, I don't know.
Maybe you played it a lot. You just want more.
Maybe.
I played it a lot. I loved it. That was one of the reasons why I bought it.
Hey.
Okay.
I just recognized our chancellor from this Torment Tides of Numenera game.
There you go.
Oh, is it one of their character portraits?
Spoilers. My Google image foo is weak, so I do the best I can. So.
No, it's fine. I'm just saying. That was weird. Like, I've got Steam up and it like popped up. I'm like, what? Anyway.
Yeah. All right. So anyways, back to the show. So Cardinal Orsini had suggested that there was a service that you could provide. Lev pretty much volunteered the entire group to do it, but
Remenel shoots him a dirty look.
Homet says, "You're the one that's going to swallow the stuff that comes out of his mouth."
Hey, man. It's in my character's nature. Good help.
So the Chancellor says to the Cardinal, "Cardinal, they appear to be interested in proving that they are, in fact, assets to the Queen and her government. Perhaps you can inform them the details of the service that they could provide." And the Cardinal looks very satisfied that things are going the way he wants them to go and says, "Well, as I have mentioned, the Amber Pope has declared a crusade against the Gaians in the cloud crystal sky fields. One of the leaders of the crusade is Baron Tychronus. Baron Tychronus hails from Ushfan." Rivenel, that's how you pronounce it. Ushfan.
Ushfan?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Uxphon, which is in an area, a region called the Black Riage, which is basically the mountains to the east of Navarine. There's a whole mountain range that runs north-south, extends north, it forms the eastern border of the cloud crystal sky fields, and it extends south as well. Ushfan is, in fact, just north of the obelisk of the water god. It's a small city. And again, it's the home of Baron, Tychronus, Tychronus. He's not there, though. He's off leading the crusade in the cloud crystal sky fields. And a situation has developed. His estate, his residence, back in Ushan. The person he left in charge has gone missing, and there is no one there to supervise his slaves and to ensure that the home is properly cared for. He can't leave the crusade, but he's requested that the Amber Pope find personnel of suitable talents and abilities to ensure that his estate is cared for while he provides this service. If you could find the caretaker who's gone missing, that would certainly be a bonus. But the important thing is to ensure that the Baron's estate is kept safe and sound and secure so that he can focus on supporting the war effort in the crusade.
Hamid's going to be muttering, fucking house sitting, God.
So how big is this estate, and what's the wine cellar like?
The Cardinal confesses that he's never been to Ushan himself. So he only has the most general information that but the Baron is well known. He's the ranking noble in Ushan or Ushvan. So it won't be any difficulty at all to find the estate, and that the Baron sent an appropriate statement, properly sealed, authorizing the bearers of that statement to act on his in a limited fashion in securing and maintaining his estate. So you can't sell the estate, you can't convert it into a disco or do things like that, but you'll be able to get through the door with these papers. You'll be able to interact with whatever local officials are necessary with these papers. So the Chancellor turns, says, "Well, the Black Riage is outside the borders of Navarine. The particulars of the Baron's estate are of little importance to me. The crusade against the Gaians is far greater, and of course our relationship with the Order of Truth is paramount. Navarine, as the first amongst the Nine Kingdoms, must be shown to do all it can to support the Order of Truth and support this crusade. We obviously directly suffer if the crusade fails and the Gaians cross the Tithe River. So, in fact, if you provide this service successfully, then we will, in fact, acknowledge that what took place in the crash and the destruction of our research efforts was an unfortunate accident, and that you have no blame in the process. Fail or decline, and we will begin to suspect your motivations and your actions in these matters." So, any questions?
Remnel just sits up straight and looks at Lev.
Okay. It would be an honor to assist you in these matters, but such an endeavor like this would require a gathering of some additional resources. And would you be supplying our team with any monetary, upfront monetary resources that would allow us to go and purchase such items that we may need for this journey? And possibly a little extra for our efforts.
Yeah.
Well, the Chancellor sits back and says, "It would seem to be the height of foolishness at this point in our relationship to hand you something as portable as money unless you walk away. However, Charmond is well known for its universities, for its training grounds, for its study of Numenera. So I will give you free rein of the city to seek out any training or advice or Numenera that you may wish to obtain to assist you in this process. And if you return successfully, then certainly we could speak of remuneration of a more mundane and base manner.
About how long were we supposed to maintain this estate? Well, are we to expect him, the owner of the estate, back anytime soon, or
when do we have to have the keg out of there?
How much time does Dalen actually have to explore the wine cellar?
Yeah.
The Cardinal interjects, well, I am confident that the crusade is going well and that it would be hopefully a matter of weeks or months, but exactly how long, the Chancellor's not committing to. You very much get the sense that this is Orsini's play. You know, he's really motivated by this. Mm-hmm. The Chancellor's going along with it because of keeping a good relationship with the Order of Truth. You get the sense the Chancellor is legitimately concerned about the war effort and the crusade and supporting it. But you know, the particulars of helping this, again, because Tychronis is not a baron in Navarine, so not directly a subject of the queen, and therefore of little or no concern to the Chancellor and the queen, whichever way it goes for him. If he never comes home and you guys live there forever, as long as the war goes well, whatever to the Chancellor.
So why is the baron in charge of the crusade if he's not from Navarine?
Because the crusade is more than Navarine. The crusade, I think this is one where you can let your metagame understanding of that term really apply. So the Amber Pope has called on all nine kingdoms to support the crusade under a theory that the Gaians are a threat to all nine kingdoms. Navarine as the kingdom bordering the Cloud Crystal Skyfields has probably been the biggest proponent and the biggest contributor to the Crusades. But others are contributing, and Tychronis has some reasonable reputation as a military leader. So the contribution of Ushan itself is small, other than the Baron there as a leader, an experienced soldier and leader of troops. They want him involved to make sure that the Black Crusade or the Crusade proceeds well. So started switching science fantasy for a second. Black Crusade.
It's a different setting.
Yes. Or is it?
Yeah, this journey seems far. We're going to have need transport.
We will make arrangements. I think you are familiar with the vessel I have in mind. It will take you up the Jerebos River to the Tithe River to the area of the Obelisk of the Water God. From there, you should be able to make your way to Ushvan with little difficulty. Any other questions?
No. Lev is just pretty excited to go explore the city and see what he can find. Chancellor pretty much gave us a blank check, right?
sort of. To an extent. So again, if you try to convince people that, you know, gold bullion is part of your training, that's probably not going to work. But she's not going to be accused of having y'all fail because she was stingy or denied something meaningful to you, but they're not stupid. You know, they're not going to let you load up on casks of the most expensive wine in town because it's part of your, you know, training regime to consume that stuff. So, All right. So I think at this point she would excuse you. And if we were playing an MMO, this would be the time when the characters would, you know, head off to their various trainers to level up. And we can take a few minutes and kind of talk about the advancements for those of you who have not taken advancements.
I did.
I think we only have one errant slacker.
Hey now.
Have we?
Yeah, only Samurai hasn't taken his.
Let's see.
Oh, and now I just distracted him.
Yeah, he did. Now I gotta go find those.
Oh, geez, Samer. Have you figured out what your advancement is?
No, I do.
You don't have to do what I asked you to do.
No, I'm just kidding. I think I was leaning towards.
What did you ask him to do?
Yeah. I was leaning toward edge, an extra edge, but I don't know if an extra edge or extra effort would be better here, it seems. I don't know how
potentially often you the. Well, a way to think about that is, you know, extra edge.
I can't remember this. Like, if I have two effort and I've got one edge and intellect and I'm trying to lower the task difficulty of something, or I want to apply some effort to it and I've got one edge and two effort, but I want to apply two effort, would that be four effort that I would be applying because it decreases each, you know, one of the three, or is that only applied to the first effort and then the rest are the same price? I can't remember. I'm sure there was an example of that.
Well, the way I would think of it is the edge is going to constantly make it less expensive for you to put dollops of effort into things.
Yeah. I'm thinking
taking extra effort means on a one that really, really matters, you can put two effort in, which means you can lower something, a check by two.
And the second, the first one is three unless you have edge, and I think the remaining are many two, matter what. Yeah.
You said the first. What did you say? The first one. The first one would still be three effort, and then the others. That was. How did you describe that, Jason?
So the first one is three unless you have edge in it. The remaining effort are always two.
Okay.
So if you spend three effort, the first one is three unless you have edge, the remaining are two.
Right. So if you never had edge, you could potentially have as you level up, you could have effort three, effort four, and you could spend, you know, three, let's say at effort three, you could spend 7 points out of your pool and reduce a check by three levels, which is awesome, but it costs you 7 of your points. So, you know, the having extra effort lets you really swing for the fences when you have to. Mm-hmm. Extra edge makes it easier to be efficient going through multiple tasks. I guess that's how I'd describe it.
Right. Yeah, because unlike an asset, which or skill or specialization, you can only decrease the difficulty by two steps. But with effort, you can go as much as you want. Is that how you guys are reading it?
Say that one more time. I'm sorry.
You know, there are some ways that, you know, there was more than one way to decrease the difficulty of a task, like using an asset or some kind of specialization or training or something like that. Using those, modifying a task, cost is limited to two steps if you use assets, specialization, or skills or something. But if you use effort, can you go beyond two steps? Like if you applied three effort, for example.
Well, that's where the effort score comes in. Right now, all of you have an effort of one, which means the most you can spend on any particular test is one effort. How much that effort costs you depends on your edge.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? I think I actually will go effort. I'll do that. That'll be my. Should I go ahead and put that in my?
Sure.
Tier one advantage.
Tier sheet. Right.
Okay.
Okay. And Hamet, I didn't. Fully. All right. Let me go back and look and see what
we
you did.
We probably need to discuss it because I took kind of a "you can do this" type thing because it says. Let me look here. For each individual class, like there's an additional option instead of doing a non-combat skill, and glaives can take a combat skill as one of their things. So I wanted to check that that was okay with you. Oh, it's on page like 109.
Perfect.
111, I think. Nope, keep going. 112 under other options.
All right, other options. 112. 112. Extra effort.
That takes the place of one of the other four to advance the level.
Okay.
And for a glaive, it's select a new fighting move. And so I picked the can fight without weapons enabler.
Okay.
I'm not sure of the new fighting move, so that may be another thing, too. That's like it's an enabler. I guess maybe it doesn't count as a move. Maybe let me look at this one.
Well, if it's listed under the glaive fighting moves, then I'm fine with that.
It is, in fact. There you go.
Then if it's, to me, that's the key thing. If it's considered a fighting move in that list, then it counts. So, and are you using that, just so we're clear, so your other three things to level up are going to be increasing capability, moving towards perfection, and extra effort?
Assuming, though, let me get to the I put it in because I'm not going to take another skill because that is kind of a skill. Right. So I figured it fit the best in that slot. And the other ones all looked like things I might want to do in addition. So, yeah, I'm going to use that slot, too.
Okay. Excellent. And, Lev, you said you were going with extra effort, right?
Yep. I've already put it in there.
Did you? Oh, in your character sheet, not in the...
You didn't put it in the Google sheet. Which, that's not as critical now. So, all right. Excellent. So, how are we doing here?
My character sheet still has, it's like my damage is debilitated. Is there any way to reset that? I can't seem to reset that.
What's the issue now?
Click on hail.
I did that, yeah. No go. May need to reset or refresh my browser or whatnot, or log out, log back in. Can we reset our pools? I assume we're going to be resting while we're doing this shop, you know, before we set off at some point.
Sure. Yep. Yeah, I wasn't so much testing to deplete your pools, just to see whether you what kind of chops you had in duking it out with the Chancellor. So, so Hamed, I assume we would describe you spending some time. Going through, you know, maybe where the martial training is and spending some time working with those guys and just basically get yourself back in fighting fit.
Picturing a monastery and a enigmatic monk and trying to take a stone from his hand.
Nice. Excellent. Mm-hmm. All right.
Does he have a nickname for you?
Mm-hmm. Slug Boy.
Nice. And Rimmel, you want to describe kind of the process that you go through that results in you gaining this edge in making it very nice and pretty.
I'm trying to make now. Jason's OCD go on overdrive. Because every time someone types in there, he's picking it. What really bugs him is when I change the font in different ones. I know how it works. It bugged me too, but it's fun to see you kind of go, mm.
So how does Remenel describe this process of gaining an intellect edge? You know, just kind of role play it for me. Like, how was she spending her time, you know, preparing for this trip? And let's hold the whole returning home thing. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Sure. So I think it probably looks similar to what we saw on the boat. She's outwardly, it looks like she's meditating. She's kind of communing with her God, who kind of, you know, focuses on the intellect more than anything else. It's more about, the machine and the knowledge of how to interact with machines, that she spends her time, meditating and praying to get that slight edge.
Okay. And Dalen, you also are taking an intellect edge. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So how is – just kind of describe that for me. How does Dalen spend his time in the city of Charmond, you know, reflecting upon what he's learned and how he's grown and preparing himself for this new venture?
Yeah. Dalen kind of fancies himself as a swashbuckling Errol Flynn type. And if it weren't for his inability and charm and persuasion, he would be able to pull it off. And so failing that, he tries to hit up some of the ladies in this big, exciting city to brush up on his geography, botany, and astronomy.
Nice.
And fails miserably and therefore has to throw down a couple shins to have somebody take it back. He decides to approach the cardinal and to see if there's anybody that he can act as a TA for, so to speak, for a bit of time for some of the training of, I don't know if they have acolytes or anything like that, but in their structure, some of the students.
So is Dalen asking to be mentored? Like, can Orsini refer him to a mentor, or is Dalen wanting to offer his services as a mentor?
He sees himself as someone who's trained in certain areas, or knowledgeable in areas like, specifically geography, botany, and astronomy.
Right.
And he's hoping that he can act as a TA or an assistant to perhaps a senior instructor. If they've got junior members of this order that he can help, and perhaps it'll rub off on him and he'll gain his intellect edge.
Okay. So Orsini's probably not the guy to talk to about this, because remember, he's effectively the ambassador from the Order of Truth here in Charmond. So he has a small staff with him, but there's no
established here
military presence. You know, the Order of Truth does have some soldiers. The Amber Monolith is protected by a fortress that is staffed by troops sworn directly to the Order of Truth. And the Order is actually headquartered in a city called Key, which is farther south in the Steadfast. There are some troops there as well. And there are occasionally, small groups of small parties of Order of Truth troops that are sent on particular missions or escorting important people, but there's not really that type of establishment, particularly here in Sherman. Like, he's probably got a few bodyguards, but not anyone that you'd be OTA with. Now, the Chancellor could probably...
Maybe the Chancellor could hook me up with...
Yeah,
if they got a school in town, or maybe like a junior college equivalent.
Sure. Yes, she's more than happy, particularly since you are a native, and you seem to be almost as willing as Lave to talk to her, to make you a reference to the Navarine equivalent of Ranger School, where they, you know, teach people and prepare people to go up into the Black Riage Mountains or to cross into the Cloud Crystal Skyfields. Mm-hmm. So you certainly can spend some time with them, and you feel like going through that process helps you formalize and give you some better insights that really were provoked by the experiences you've recently had, that you really feel like you've got a handle now on just being sharper and more aware of your surroundings and more in tune with how to think through situations. So, so Lave.
Yeah, Lave, he is a product of the House of Benthos, okay. And so in an effort to improve his innate or some of the skill set that he cut his teeth on at that particular house, he looks for a local chapter for the House of Benthos so he can spend some time with the local chapter and continue with his training, you know, and possibly learn something new from this particular local branch of it. And in the process of doing so, he also has a couple of – this is something that – this is outside the – well, kind of outside the character because I'm not – this is something I've always been kind of wondering. I've looked to try to find it in the rule book, but I couldn't find any good, clear examples. He carries two books on the Numenera. These two – I don't know if any other character – do any of you guys carry any books?
Nope. I have Numenera.
I think Remnant.
I have a book of maps.
Yeah, I have one.
Oh, you have one? Is it just generic, like two, like a book, one book on Numenera? Because this, I've got these two books on Numenera, and they say the description says provides an asset to any role made mm-hmm. concerning the subject of the book, as long as the character has the book in his possession, can read it, and can devote half an hour to the task, or twice as long as normal, whichever is greater. And I haven't quite understood exactly how. You know, were we supposed to define what those two subjects were before we started, or does it – how does those two books play into what my character can do, I guess?
I think we've not really defined that, and I'm open to defining that. They're effectively resources, and the reason we didn't spend much time with them before was because in a one-shot setting – that wasn't really going to be that important. But now that we're moving into a more open-ended campaign style play, I think it's going to become potentially more important for you to utilize those resources.
That could be something that, you know, you and I could discuss offline if you were
right. Yeah. Cause the rules don't, I remember when I was putting that stuff in, I was anticipating this conversation happening at some point in time because they didn't really have a great answer for you because I don't think the rules really give you a clear cut. You know, a book has to be on a particular subject and here's how we mm-hmm. define a subject. It's much looser than that. So that's something that you and I can work out as to, you know, what those books accomplish. So, but run this House of Benthos thing by me again. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, part of my character's background is that he was a follower of this infamous Nano Benthos, you know, and apparently, okay. I guess he dabbled in, I wouldn't say the dark arts, but, he definitely went against the grain of your typical Nano training. And so, but it was good natured in his intent because he instilled skills that, you know, that are, he not only taught me skills, but also compassion and to use my intellect to help others and whatnot, which is why my character is eager to help out and sometimes probably oversteps his, you know, goes a little too far sometimes, as you could tell by Dalen's reaction earlier. So, you know, so anyway, so
and he basically
He just looks, for a local chapter, you know, he asks around and I guess he finds one and, you know, it's a small little branch. And so he just, he goes and, you know, and hangs out with the local chapter and, learns what he can from them. And I guess in during that, he earns just a little bit of extra effort.
Okay. So how welcoming or how welcome do you believe a chapter of the House of Benthos would be?
Well, considering they're kind of considering they're actually a fairly small and offshoot, you know, denomination, if you will, of these nano schools, they were quite welcoming, especially because I was branded, you know, by the master himself, you know, because I was a direct apprentice of Benthos, and so they actually took to me they were very welcoming, especially when they found out that I was an actual direct apprentice of him.
You know, but my question is, how welcome is the House of Benthos? How does the rest of the Nano / Order of Truth community, because the Order of Truth and Nanos aren't one and the same. Many mm-hmm. Nanos become Ion Priests and become members of the Order. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to get a sense of.
I couldn't find any background on why he's infamous. You're the GM. You tell me.
Well.
I mean, you put this in my character.
That's fine. I'm going to put this in the character.
I actually tried to Google it, you know, but you got to be careful because I didn't want to spoil the mission we were on. I didn't want to go too deep.
Well,
there's only one level of deep that you can go, Sammer.
That's true.
Is there Hamet?
Well, I'm talking.
I thought
guilt.
You said earlier.
Jalen begs to differ.
I thought you said earlier just the tip. So,
the tip.
Okay, Lev. So here's an excellent opportunity for a GM intrusion. Exactly. So here's the GM intrusion. I'm willing to offer you.
This is like such a dysfunctional relationship. I'm willing to give you this abuse.
Yeah.
Well, because remember,
I know you get really paid. Oh, I know. I know we get paid for it, Rex. Doesn't make it less abusive. Beat me some more, baby.
And I've still got that one XP, right, to toss this off if I don't like it. Right?
Correct. You absolutely have this. So here's the intrusion. It would be 1 XP for you and 1 XP to give to someone else in the party. Ooh. And you can narrate how that would happen. But here's the intrusion, and I'm going to kind of fast forward it because we're getting to a point in the night where I wouldn't want to play out a big long scene. But the intrusion would be that, in fact, when you leave the House of Benthos feeling fully invigorated and fully charged with the ability for new effort, you're so caught up in the moment and reflecting upon the growth and development you've had that you don't realize that you were being followed. And as you were making your way back to where y'all were staying, you were in fact are waylaid, jumped by a group of people who don't care for Benthos. And in fact, think that Benthos is responsible for ill omens and bad things that have happened, and that studying Benthos is just opening a door to problems and trouble that nobody needs. And so the intrusion basically is that you get attacked, and during the course of the struggle, they rip your satchel with your books and they end up fleeing with your books, and you've lost your books. That would be the intrusion. It would be an XP for you and one of your fellow players?
Okay, this is Samer asking. Is this how you get around having to deal with this asset?
You're
I guess we
not exactly offline.
Ask him a not question exactly. He doesn't want to answer, and
no.
Have I given does Hammett see this thing go down, and have I given him the XP before this encounter?
Well,
you can certainly to help me.
You can certainly narrate how Hammett gets the benefit of an XP in this circumstance. Mm-hmm. However you want. You can work him into the story, or you can just give him the XP because you want to give him the XP. That's entirely up to you at this point in time. And you can give me your XP and say, no, you're not taking my books. So
I'm kind of curious. You know, we haven't done anything just yet. Do we do a little – what do you think, Hammett? I mean, does Hammett see this – does he happen to run across – are we kind of shopping out – we kind of like we were planning to meet up later in the day, and as we were about to meet up
– two guys went shopping. What's strange about that? Maybe we'll –
We're gonna rally. How about that? Right. Rally. We're gonna use words like that.
If you accept the intrusion, the books or the immediate thing has happened. They've gotten away with your books. Okay, so it's not an opportunity for you and Hammett to have a fight for the books at this point. There could be other circumstances where I'd do an intrusion differently. It's just I'm not sure I want to start a fight scene when we're in our last at least in my mind, 30 minutes or so.
I'm curious how we're going to tie another, I mean, any character in the party into him losing his books, but.
It is
classic beat up the nerd scenario.
Well, this is my first intrusion. So,
you're driving, baby. So don't make me feel sorry for you.
So to some extent, this is me playing around with how it works and noticing. I haven't done one yet.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
I'll play it out.
Let's do this. Hammett, do you have a way? That you can think of to interact with this situation or the aftermath of this situation, or Revenel or Daylan, if you want to narrate or throw ideas out how Hammett was involved in the situation or responded or dealt with the situation.
Because I don't get the sense that Hammett. I mean, as stepping out of character for a second, I love books, but I don't get the sense that Hammett would really be that into books. It's just not his thing.
I think you were more upset with the fact that someone from your party that you've grown somewhat attached to, we've fought together, we've played together.
In Hammett. I think he's putting
in head that may or may not be there. I think. Maybe we can use this. So Lev is not his favorite person because. Basically, Lev's, to put it in other terms, compulsive vowing has gotten us into this situation where we're in the employ or we're in this dark crusade or whatever the fuck it is. And that Hammett still thinks that's kind of he's a grudge bearer. I really get that sense about him.
Okay.
So maybe how could we tie this into you losing your books? Maybe you.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yeah, go for it.
Have you read Hammett's background recently?
I did read it recently, but let me look at it again and see if I can see what you're hinting at. That's true. My belief in mystic phenomena, perhaps.
That could certainly play into Benthos. Also, potentially your life on the streets, running with the wrong crowd, potentially.
Oh yeah, so maybe possibly
learning something from a guy who's kind of going against the grain. Maybe he knows something. You're fascinated with what mysteries he might hold that's off the beaten path.
Yeah, maybe Lev comes up in conversation, and I happen to mention that there's these books this guy's carrying around, and accidentally I'm responsible for Lev's books being targeted. I'm not thinking we're going to be good friends after this, Lev.
What are you talking about? You're going to get my books, right?
Oh, am I going to get them back? I
don't. Yeah, think... that's what I thought you were getting at. I thought you were basically.
No, I don't. Is that? I mean, my sense of the intrusion is that you're not getting you're getting an XP and you're losing your books for good.
The relationship between Lev and Hammett is something along the lines. Do you ever see that movie Big Brother? What was the Bodyguard movie with back in the 80s? I can't remember. Anyway,
I don't know.
Never mind. You kind of, you know, kind of a nerd. I just got my lunch.
Rex, are you thinking that Hammett is going to help him get his books back? Or
well, I just think potentially that Hammett could connect with Lev and empathize with his situation because you understand the importance of the books. You understand how something like this could happen because you grew up on the streets. All right. And you kind of console him about the situation. And so it's clear the books aren't necessarily gone forever.
He's keeping
them. They're gone for now. You know, so I'm going to leave that an open question.
I suppose Hammett's been through enough with Lev that, yeah, he feels, even though he still harbors some grudge, perhaps he feels sympathy, it took a while to say, for Lev losing his books. And, you know, maybe Lev and Hammett have talked about them, and, you know, maybe the mystical nature of them is something that's always interested him. So, I mean, Hammett could use his street smarts to kind of go out and see if there's someone, you know, dealing in these books, or find out if there's any way that, you know, he could get a line on where they might have gone. He could do that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. That sounds like a fantastic.
Yeah.
Grudgingly, mm-hmm. in a meta space, I will befriend Lev.
Right. So quick question. Can you guys see each other's character sheets?
No.
I can just the bio. Info, and that's it.
Yeah.
You can see the bio or you can't see the bio?
If the bio is there, like I can see Hammett's bio.
Yeah, because I loaded the stuff from the character sheet under background. I loaded it into bio and info.
Yeah,
I did that today.
I'll have to check the other
characters. I only ever load up
Remnal.
Okay. Let's see.
Yeah, I don't see leaves, but it may not be there in the first place.
Yeah,
I see Remnals.
Yeah, I just put it in. Just that bio stuff.
In roll 20, if you give everyone like change access to everyone else's character, they can see the whole thing. But then,
I did that. That's what I'm doing. Yeah. So Hammett should be in all players' journals, and edited, controlled by Hammett. And let's see, Remnal. Oops. Let's go over here.
I want to take that mask off of Remnal.
That's out there. No, let's check on daily.
She would not be out of place in the sprawl.
No,
that's right. Not. Yeah.
Yeah. They should be all in everybody else's journals, so you should be able to see everybody. Okay. So, all right. So here's where we stand. A couple of different things y'all can do. I'm kind of done with Charmond unless you guys decide to start a side quest to go find Lev's books, which could be a thing that we could do next session. Or if that's not something you want to pursue at the moment and y'all want to go trekking north.
Check out our house sitting gig.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm
more inclined to do that. I was hoping we might run into the book thing maybe along the way or something.
Didn't you guys lose a book too?
Yeah, fucking books and wrecks.
What?
Did.
Oh, you guys lost that?
Yeah. Oliver.
Twitch. Books bad. Twitching. Bad books. Books. No books. The books. They burn. The books burn.
Books are bad.
Yeah, I'm just trying to, because I have about 20 minutes left in me before I'm done. So I'm just trying to figure out what to do with that time. Because I'm afraid if we get into the substance of getting it. Oh, you know what we could do?
Cypher, what about that?
Well, and I was thinking the perfect thing to do would be the ciphers, except, of course, that's the one thing I didn't really prepare. So
we could do that
in between sessions.
Yeah, we could do that.
So what I was anticipating doing was throwing up in the new Google Doc some potential ciphers for y'all to look at and decide versus just starting randomly rolling and handing stuff out, because I think it's better for y'all to potentially look at what they do and pick and choose. It just – that takes a little bit of time for me to generate and throw in the doc. Not terrible amount of time, but it would be pretty boring to do it right now, I think. So here's the question. Basically the thing that I'll leave you with on the ciphers is between now and the next session, I'll throw up a list of available ciphers, or – if you want to dig through the rule book and lobby for a cipher that you'd like. In fact, actually, I'm really liking that idea as I speak.
I was going to say,
it's less work for you.
Sounds like you're really
far less work for me. Yeah. This is, it's interesting. You made that comment earlier before we got rolling about how the world didn't really grab you. And in weird ways, this world doesn't really grab me either. So on some level, I'm surprised that I'm still running this, although I'm just going to make it my own world is part of
that. That's the way to do it. Yeah.
But the lazy GM part of me says, wow, what a great system.
The source material in there is there's good stuff in there. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And so, using the ciphers will not compromise your artistic vision, Rex. I'll give you that. You're good.
Yes. So, but
that's
so here's the question.
The GM.
That's right. So here's the question, Rimino. We haven't really addressed the fact that you're going home. And
we haven't.
That might be a good discussion to have for a little bit. And you can have it with the party. We could talk a little bit about what that might mean, how you want to approach that. Do we know why Rimino left Ushvan?
She's on like a religious quest for the machine god Prav. I don't think that she's interested really, especially with Lev's what's the word I'm looking for? How quick he is to jump at opportunities to do new things and offer information. So she's not trying to be secretive, but maybe it's not a need to know quite yet for anybody. I don't think she's necessarily connected in a personal way that she would be interested in talking about it. I don't know if she's in turmoil, which might be interesting if she's very reluctant to go back, to Ushvan for some reason.
See, that's the typical attitude that nano attitude that Benthos was trying to get away from. So
typical nano.
Typical nano.
But it sounds like it'd be fair to say that Riminal was drawn away from Ushvan versus fled from Ushvan. Is that a fair characterization?
I think so. Yeah, she left on a religious quest, but maybe isn't super excited to go back. So and I didn't obviously think about this. So maybe her family is all dead, and she's going to have to deal with that in some way upon returning, even if it's just emotionally. She'll have to address the fact that her parents are dead.
Okay. Do you want me to read some of the fluff material on Ushvan now, so all of y'all have a sense of what you're going in, and maybe Romanel can
I'll do that.
Well, I have information that you don't have, I suspect.
Stuff that's not in the book.
Stuff that's not in the core rulebook, correct.
Okay.
So here's a little blurb for you. Ushvan is an oligarchy and a true aristocracy, a place where the noble class as a whole are the only rulers. In effect, the nobles own the city, all of its businesses, and to some degree, even the citizens of the lower classes. The city has no military of its own, and the town guards are employed by the nobility. In effect, a person of one of the many noble families can do no wrong in Ushvan, and only the other nobles, who see order as good for the city and thus for themselves, keep them in check. So there's that to think about. And then physically, here's a description of the city. The city lies within a massive winding canyon at the edge of the Black Riage. Again, that's the mountain range that runs north and south, separating the steadfast from the beyond. This canyon is called Deathwater Canyon, and the entire community is built around a series of ancient pipes. The exact purpose of those pipes is now unknown. There are varying sizes, but many of the main pipes are large enough that people can actually walk through them. And many of the pipes are empty and, in fact, over the course of time, have become enclosed walkways for people to move around. The community buildings have been built up around them. Some of the pipes still function and carry something that's quite warm. I'll leave that up to y'all to decide what that might be. And so what Rimmel in particular knows from experience is the nobles have a tendency to have their homes built around these pipes that still are conducting warmth. And they've developed technology that allows them to use that to play off, to basically create hot water and cold water, and heat for their home. So that's kind of a general description of the community and the social setting. And again, Remenel, you would recognize Tychronis as one of the leading nobles in the community, and someone who was renowned for their military prowess. And so you weren't really surprised at all to find out that he ended up with a gig leading military forces in the Crusade. I'll leave it up to you to decide whether there's any more personal history between Remenel and Tychronis, and you don't have to decide that right now.
Okay.
Any questions about Ushvan based on the description I provided so far?
I don't know.
Nope.
Have we lost Lev?
Nope. Still here.
You're Dalen. But have we lost
Lev? Me, yeah, whoever.
No, Lev is still here. I was just on mute.
Okay, you dropped out of roll 20. At least I don't see you in roll 20 now.
Oh, really?
So,
oh,
hold yeah. on a second.
Yep. All right, pull back up.
Dalen, questions, comments, anything else?
Do we have any understanding or knowledge about how the Crusades have affected the area? Like, is Sean is relatively safe? Is it under attack? Is it remote from the Crusade activity, or?
I would say it's remote from the Crusade activity. Again, it's up in the Riage Mountains, and they're on the edge of the cloud crystal sky fields. But the conflict is more in the central region of the sky field. So at this point in time, there's no immediate threat to Ushvan. And again, while there's probably some, you know, number of citizens of Ushvan who have joined the crusade, it's probably a fairly small number. Again, Tychronis being the big draw in the situation, and again, mostly being brought because of his reputation and his abilities as a military leader. So, some of you during the course of the session may have been shared a handout that was shared only with you. So
somebody's getting fancy with roll 20.
You all of you should check. Where if you didn't get a Valentine, it's okay.
I got a mysterious note, but I think that was there before.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure mysterious note has been there the whole time.
Yeah.
If you did get a handout, then it may potentially require you to answer a question for me or provide me some information. You can either do that here in Roll20, or you can do that via email. If you have questions about the handout, then obviously you can email me. We can sort that out. So,
I don't know. Maybe I logged on to where are we supposed to see this?
Well, it would depend on whether you got one or not.
Oh, okay. Guess Leave didn't get one.
Spoiler alert.
Or very well played.
Typical.
Yeah, maybe he's bluffing.
Yeah. Handouts maybe. Show up in your journal usually.
Yeah.
Yep. So I'm kind of at a stopping point unless somebody had something quick they wanted to wrap up or
I just wanted
address.
To do some bookkeeping. Did we get Leave and I get our one XP for your tip?
Yes. Yes, I have given an XP to Dalen, Leave, and Hommet.
Okay.
I feel bad.
Would Hommet have two XP at this point since he had one before?
Yeah. All of you, the three of you would each now have two XP because none of you spent the one you had. And
that's an extra.
And that's just stuff you earned either from the intrusion or from role-playing. And I'm trying to decide how much more XP to give out at this point in time. I'm going to say everybody gets one more at this point, just for the discoveries of Charmond and the things that you've done in the course of this process. So
that would be three for Lev total?
I think everybody's at three except for Riminal, who's now at
two.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay. I'll figure out a way to intrude on Riminal.
I bet you
next
session.
Yeah, I bet you.
Yeah, sure. How convenient.
Okay.
They don't call it GM intrusion for nothing.
Exactly.
Luminaire after dark.
Absolutely. All right, boys. I think we already have a January date, don't we? Didn't we have a January date, and then we threw this one on as a bonus? I seem to remember that.
I better check that.
I can't do the date you guys picked.
Oh, that was the problem.
Yeah, it was the 11th, I think.
Women.
Yeah, so let's see. So anybody have thoughts about a January date?
I'm free on the 11th and 18th.
No, you're not.
Were those the two? I'm not.
Gamma World's on the 18th.
Thanks for.
I haven't looked at that update yet. Okay. Gamma World, 18th. All right. Okay, so I'm not available. So that leaves the 11th and 25th.
Well, the 11th is out because Jason can't make it.
Okay, 25?
Are we trying to get everything on Thursday? Or is it just that the only day for you, Sam?
No, I just trying. That's kind of turning into like RPG night. Theory. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can do Tuesdays Thursdays and Fridays generally.
All those days generally work for me too. I'm pretty open.
Time?
Yeah, I'm flexible. Thoughts? You know.
Yeah. So once the kids go back to school, I'm back to regular gymnastics taxi duty, which means I can't start like 9:30, except for Friday.
Friday's like central time.
Yeah.
So for Rex, that'd be
10:30. Yeah, that'd be.
That's a little late.
That'd be a little painful. So.
So Fridays or off Sundays or, you know, for Cthulhu.
I'm flexible. The only day that I can't do is Monday nights.
What about, for some reason, I had Sunday, January 14th as a day.
Oh, maybe that's a day.
Yes, it's different.
Yeah, that is a day. I'm out of
time. You know what?
That whole weekend.
Okay.
Yeah, I had possible Numenera that night, but.
Maybe we set the 14th, not the 11th.
Yeah.
Ty, when are our World War Cthulhu dates? 7th and 21st?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about Sunday night, the 28th?
That's good for me.
Yep.
I also have possible Numenera that night.
So are you running another Numenera game?
No, he's talking about this one, I bet.
Yeah, so I think we talked about this date before at some point. So I just
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah, that works for me.
Sammer?
28?
28th?
Yeah, that works.
Okay.
Yep.
What time?
I am.
Same time?
9 Eastern is fantastic for me.
That's works great for me, too.
The sweet time.
Especially on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because the kid and the wife are at church, so I can do the opposite. Drink, cuss.
There you go.
Talk about intrusions.
There we go. Okay, boys. I think that's probably going to be our best chance, given the things we've talked about at this point in time. So, so that's booked. All right. So, again, some of you may be getting emails, and we may be discussing things between now and then. I'll definitely do you guys just want to, on your own speed, hunt around for ciphers that you'd like to pick up and have that discussion with me versus me just randomly generating stuff and y'all deciding whether it's something you want or not?
I like the idea of paging through the book. You're going to make me buy the old fucking book, dude, because I get tired of looking through the PDF. I want to sit down and flip pages.
I know. Zoom 400 pages.
Yeah.
Sucker.
So is this a bad time for you to mention the fact that they've got extra cipher books that you could buy as well, like additional ciphers?
What do you
books.
The problem is I'm like in big on the Kickstarter, so I'm gonna get all this shit, so I just have to be patient.
Nice.
That doesn't work for me though, usually.
Patience?
I can say.
What?
What is this patience?
Nope. Not gonna do it.
All right, boys, any other comments for the good of the order?
I have a comment. Good job, Rex.
Good job.
Thank you, sir. Good appreciate job. It.
Yep.
All right.
Good fun, Rex. Thank
you. Your winging it was excellent, and I love it when people do that.
Good. Although you're encouraging me to wing more. So
I am. But I like it. Only thing I would say is you probably need to drink more to really get in the full spirit of winging it.
Well, that would require me to drink it all at this point in time. So I gotta go talk to the doctor before I start doing that. So
doctors don't know nothing. Trust me.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll be your doctor. Let me give you a prescription.
Okay.
Drink more.
Drink more. Yeah.
All right, boys. All have right, a good night. Night. Those of you who are World War Cthulhu, I'll see you guys on the 7th.
7th, yep.
Nice. All right,
great,
sir.
Great job, boys. Good New Year's.
Yep, Happy New Year, boys.
Happy New Year. Later.
Bye. Nice.